In Psalm chapter 50, you can turn over there if you'd like to. Psalm chapter 50. One of the things that seems to... how can I say this? There are a lot of Christians who seem to question whether or not God really hears them when they pray. It's like part of them believes that He does, and part of them, well, you know, they're not so sure. And I think really all of us, at least once in our life, have had questions about answered prayer. You know, is God really hearing me? You know, how do I get my prayers answered and so forth? And I've taught before on getting prayers answered. But tonight, in Psalm chapter 50, just look first off here in two verses, verse 14, where it says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So what he's saying here, really, if we could kind of restate it, in verse 14, he's saying, spend time in my presence, prayer, worship, in my word, and so forth. Spend time in my presence. Call upon me in the day of trouble. He says, just do it. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and you shall glorify me. And what he means by we shall glorify him is that as he moves to bring about deliverance, it's going to bring glory unto him, because the deliverance he brings is a kind of deliverance that cannot be brought about by us ourselves. Otherwise, most of us wouldn't call out to him, now would we? And how many times have we not called out to him and then later wish we had? We were trying to work it out ourselves. And he just says, look, just spend time in my presence, okay? Come on, just get in here with me. And then when you're facing a troublesome time, no matter what it is, just call on me, and I'll hear you, and I'll work to bring about deliverance in your life. Look in Psalm 91. Again, just two verses. There's a lot in this 91st Psalm we could look at, but we're just going to look at two. Again, verse 14. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." So again, we're seeing something very similar. And God is saying, set your love upon me. Put your, you know, focus your direction toward me. Let's face it, at times it seems kind of difficult, doesn't it? It isn't that we love God, but, you know, it would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it, if we could just see God. I mean, just have like a point of reference. Well, it's a walk of faith. And he says, set your love upon me. And you can call upon me. And I'll bring about deliverance. I'll work on your behalf. I'll deliver you. I'll be with you. I'll honor you. Meaning, you know, God says, look, you love me, and you depend upon me like this, and I will bring honor to you. Now, that's different things for different people. But he says, you know, I'll do all this for you. Just call upon me. Just trust me in this. Now, look over in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. In verse 11. God is speaking. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So again, he's telling us, you know, I'm here for you. And you sometimes question my intentions for your life. And haven't we done that before? Wondered, why is God putting me through all this? And in some cases, there are a lot of Christians, I mean, man, they blame God a lot for just about everything bad that goes on. And he says, look, you know, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And you're struggling with this concept of me being a good, loving, compassionate God. He says, but I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The thoughts that I have for you are thoughts of peace. Meaning, it doesn't matter what you are going through, my thoughts for you are thoughts of peace. And I can give you peace in the midst of every circumstance that you're facing, no matter how bad it seems. And he says, my thoughts for you are not thoughts of evil. They're not thoughts of terrible hardship. And he says, look, I plan to give you an expected end. And this expected end that God has for us perfectly lines up with His will for our lives, no matter what it would be. And He says, look, call upon me. Pray to me. I'll hearken unto you. Seek me with all your heart. You'll find me. I'll be there for you. In other words, He's saying, I'm already here. If you will take the time to search for me with all your heart. How do we search for God with all our heart? I mean, think about it. How many times have we felt like we're searching for Him with all our heart, and yet He's just not there? Well, here's the thing. God has already said right here in His Word, I'm there for you. One of the ways that we search for Him with all of our heart is to believe what we just read. Whether I have goosey bumps or not, He's there. Whether I hear this big booming voice or not, He's there. He said He's there. And one of the ways that I search for Him with all my heart is to read these kind of passages in here that we've just read. So many others we could look at. But just these three. And believe them. You know, God, you said you'd be here when I would call upon you. Now, this time of trouble that I'm facing, you said you'd be here. You said you'd move. You said you would deliver. Now, Father, I'm just going to be honest with you. Right at the moment, I don't feel anything. I mean, I don't. If I had to go by what I feel and what I think, I just am not so sure you're even here. Because I don't feel anything. And so often that's what we're looking for, is to feel something. I want to feel His presence. Yet when He says, look, pray to me, I'm here, I will hearken to your prayer, and I will listen to you, and I will move upon, or I'll move on your behalf according to my will. In other words, you can pray and talk to Him about things, and if you ask Him to do something that doesn't line up with His will, now He's not going to do that. But He says, I'll listen to you, I'll hearken to you, and I'll move. I'll work to bring about deliverance in your life. The thing is, sometimes our definition of deliverance is not His. For example, how many times have we thought if we just had a little more money? You know, boy, if I just had a little more money, I could do this, do that, and pay this and pay that, and boy, everything would be coming up roses because I'd buy some and plant them. Hallelujah. Well, God's in heaven saying, you know what? You've gone through a lot of money in a very foolish way. And if I give you more money right now, you're going to go through it again and you're going to come back and repeat this prayer all over again, how bad things are. Now, it's not my will that you go through hardship, but if I give you a bunch of money right now, it's going to make your life worse than what it is. Therefore, stick your nose in my word, climb in that prayer closet, and stay in my presence. Because what you need more than money is wisdom on how to handle money. See what I mean? So from God's perspective, His deliverance during this time of financial trouble is His wisdom on what to do with money. Because once we've got the wisdom, He can add the money to it and we'll know what to do and we won't be foolish. We'll pay our bills or you know whatever it is we're supposed to do. Now, the reason I pointed all of these passages out to you is to confirm to us, if we needed confirmation, that God hears our prayers and that He moves when we pray. We have to believe this and accept it as truth no matter what we feel. So whenever we pray and believe, praying according to His Word, God's going to be moving. He doesn't always bring about an instant change about things. Just like with your children. You know, they grow. Why do you feed them? Number one, they're hungry. Number two, you want them to be healthy and you want them to grow, right? And it takes time for little Johnny to become big Johnny. Likewise, God will work with us during our times of spiritual growth, and He's not going to move in our lives on a big Johnny level while we're still little Johnny. He's going to work with us where we are. And if we continue to follow what He has laid before us and do what we know to do, we will grow from little Johnny to big Johnny. He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. This morning, I shared a message that had to do with really our responsibility as Christians, not just in the world, but specifically in this country. And in this message, what I did was show you how that God has some expectations on us. Changes in a country do not take place sovereignly. They take place as a result of God's people doing their part in that nation. It is God's desire for righteous people to rule, to be in authority, and to hold positions of government, no matter what those positions would be. If the country is a monarchy, then God wants a Christian king in that nation. If it's a country like ours, where you have a president, God wants a Christian president. And all the different levels of government, He wants somebody in there that's going to stand up for His word, because He said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. This is what God wants. But it doesn't just happen. And as I shared this morning, all too often, we are so quick to point to ungodly leaders and say, well, you know, God puts them in. No, He doesn't. We talked about that. God is not going to put somebody in a place of authority who is going to try and push society away from the cross of Christ. He's not going to do that. So God wants people in authority. The thing is, when God created everything, He gave man dominion over the work of His hands, and man is the one who has chosen to set up these different forms of government that we see throughout the world. You know what's interesting? We had all these different forms of government in the world before we ever had all these different denominations. The denominations in this world are a variation on the theme of all the different nationalities and the way that they govern themselves. It's the same kind of a thing. It just moved from the world into the church. God looks at it and He says, okay, you guys did this. This is not my doing. You can go all the way back to the nation of Israel. God said, I don't want you to have a king. It will just mess things up. Trust me. What you need is a godly priest. That's what they messed up. We want a king. God says, okay, here's your king. You can have one. But let me tell you ahead of time what this king is going to do. And He told them. And they said, we don't care. We want a king anyway. And God said, all right. Then here's the second thing I'll do for you. I'll be the one that picks your king. And what I will do is I will look out across this nation of Israel and I will pick the best candidate for this. And so He picked Saul, did He not? But remember, He said, even though I'm hand-picking the best candidate, this guy is going to go sour on you. And he's going to enslave your sons and daughters. I mean, He told him ahead of time. And that's the way it ended up. So God looks down upon everything that we have in this world today, no matter what the country is, and He said, look, you people established this form of government. You did not come to me and pray about this. You're the ones that did it. You're the ones that wrote up your constitutions or your charters or your, you know, I mean, whatever a country has, you're the ones that did this. So it may not be what I would have done for you, yet I will still work within that system that you have created. But you've got to give me entrance into this. You've got to allow me to get in there and move. And if you don't, then there's not much I can do. Oh, and by the way, if you shut me out completely, your country's going to fall apart. The perfect example of this is North and South Korea. North is total devastation. South is one of the richest nations. In fact, per capita, it may be the wealthiest nation on earth. They are so far technologically advanced. And yet, you know what divides the two? It's the same landmass. It's the same little pinky finger of land that's sticking out from a continent. It's all the same thing. And the only thing that divides the two is this line right across the middle. North of the line, they say no Jesus. South of the line, they're evangelizing the world. They're sending evangelists out. South Korea is second only to the United States to the number of evangelists that have been sent out throughout the world. And the blessings of God are upon that nation. But just a few miles north, I mean just north, total devastation. The people are starving. The economy is completely destroyed. Why is that? They rejected God. And it's like God is saying, look, here's your example right here. This one little landmass. Look at what is happening. Now, if you let me help you, I can get in the midst of this thing and I can turn it around and make something good out of it. But you, those who have the authority, my sons and daughters, You're the ones that have got to pray. You're the ones that have got to use your authority through your confession, through your worship, through all of these things, so that I have something to work with in your midst. So therefore, the burden for this, the burden for change, is on us. Because God has already declared His willingness to help us out. So then what we have to do is really be gutsy enough to say, okay, I accept this. I accept this responsibility. Because God's not going to make us do this. And as God begins to look out, well, in fact, you know, in one place in Scripture, He talks about how His eyes are, you know, going to and fro looking for somebody that He can show Himself strong on behalf of. God is looking for a nation in which He can demonstrate His strength. Now, it can be this country. Hey, it can be Saudi Arabia. It can be Iran. I mean, God doesn't care. It can be any country that will let me do this, I'll do it. I'm ready. Because God's no respecter of persons, and He loves us all. See? So now here we are in a nation that for about the last, you know, 200 plus years, we have been the most godly nation in this world. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has had more freedom here than almost any other country that's ever existed. And we have the blessings to prove it. You know, God has raised this nation up to be a mighty power in the world. At times the power has been abused, at times it hasn't. And we can debate different things all night long, whether this country did right or wrong in this thing and that thing and the other. But the bottom line is this. There has been a tremendous amount of religious freedom in this country. And because of it, the name of Jesus has been lifted up. Even our money says, in God we trust. You know that thing, that email that's going around, you know, don't take the new dollar coin because they've taken in God we trust. It's on there. It's on the edge. They kind of hit it, but I mean, it is on there. But all of this can change. Because all it takes is the unrighteous ruling in authority. And these things can be removed. These things can be taken. We've lost a lot already. There was a... you may have heard about this, but just recently in New York, there was some kind of a... it wasn't a protest at all. It was just a gathering, not even a convention, but just a sign of solidarity, I forget what they called it, for people of the alternate lifestyle. Okay? And there were some Christians that showed up, and the only thing I know about this is that there were some Christians that showed up, it wasn't very many, it was in Central Park in New York, and all they wanted to do was go into Central Park and pray. That was it. And this is all a story that I got on this. The police told them they couldn't. They said, you cannot go in there and pray. And some of them went in anyway and got arrested. Because they wanted to. Now, I don't know if there's more to this story or not, so I'm willing to say that some details may be missing in this. But this is just an example. There were, you know, the thing that takes place every year at high schools, meet me at the pole, where students gather at the flagpole, you know, to pray. And at some schools, the students have been told they can't do that. They're not allowed to pray like that on school property around the flagpole. Now, can you imagine George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin? I mean, they all may have had their own issues, but can you imagine them supporting that kind of a decision? And yet, what do we have today? We have that kind of thing going on en masse, more than what we'd like. And we sit back and we think, man, what next? I mean, they took prayer out of the schools. You know, you can't, you know, and in some schools, they don't even want them to say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. They're keeping the students from saying the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't have Christmas break anymore. You have winter break. You don't have Easter vacation. You have spring break. It's changed. And in the Christmas plays that they have at the school, you know, they can't sing the Christmas carols and so forth because, you know, the Muslims or the Hindus or somebody else might get offended. The atheist might get upset. So you can't sing Silent Night. And all these songs that society... Walk into the stores. Just walk into the department stores. Now, this Christmas that's coming up here, as you're out shopping, as you're out walking around, listen to the music that you're hearing. You're going to hear less and less of the Silent Night songs. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be playing more and more of the secular things. Yeah, Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph And I mean, how many times are we going to have to listen to Burl Ives saying, "Have a holly jolly Christmas"? There must be 30 versions of that out there. All of these things can change. It can be turned around. One of the things that the devil wants us to do is to come to the place of feeling helpless, like there's nothing we can do. What has God said in His Word that we've just seen? "I will hearken to you when you call upon me. When you pray, I will move. And I'll bring about deliverance." Now, we read these verses and we think on a personal level, but let's look at a national level. Let's think of it like that. God is saying, you know, this isn't just about you, but this is about your entire nation. If you come to me and you pray, I will hearken. And if you intercede on behalf of your country, I'll move. But you've got to pray. You guys may not know this, but there are Satanists who fast and pray for the power of Satan to be released in this country for the suppression of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people in the body of Christ don't know this is going on, and it's going on. Well, we can take a stand, and we can do our part, but we have to do it in faith, believing that God is moving. If somebody says they're going to build you a house, and they say, "Look, I'll build a house. You just need to get the materials here." And they give you a list of all the materials that you need. And part of what you need is like 20,000 bricks, okay, or whatever it takes to build a house. So you order those bricks, and the bricks get delivered. Now, is that house going to be built tomorrow? How's it going to be built? One brick at a time, okay? And you show up the first day and think, "I thought I was supposed to have a house." We pray one day, "I thought I was supposed to have deliverance." And God says, one brick at a time. You've got to understand there are strongholds in your nation that are fighting against you. There's a warfare that's going on. Now, you've got the authority and the power to do this, but you've got to exercise it. And as you begin to pray, as you begin to worship, as you begin to confess and speak my word, that's giving me tools to work with, and it's opening a door for me to begin to move in your nation to bring about a change. So we have to do our part. Well, this morning we were talking about this. We were talking about how that in the upcoming election, the presidential election, that there is, we've had two prophecies now from two different sources that have said that there is a man that God's trying to raise up in this nation, that he is currently in the race, but a lot of people don't recognize, they don't know him, his name isn't very prominent to a lot of households and so on and so forth, but God's working to bring him up, yet there are strongholds that are fighting against him to suppress him. Now I want you to think about that. Whoever this person is, he has already captured so much attention of the enemy that the enemy has already raised up strongholds to hold him back, and most people don't even know who he is yet. That means this guy is a severe threat to the kingdom of darkness. And we need to take this seriously. And if we do our part, then God's going to be able to move through this. And so tonight what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time, not a whole long time tonight doing this, but we're going to go through some confessions, and they're going to pass these confessions out to you. When you receive these, I ask that you not immediately glue your eyes to them. And here's why. God needs our confession. And these confessions are, you know, taken, they're not word for word scripture, but they're taken from scripture. They're an application of scripture, if you will. But he also needs our prayers. And we saw in Ephesians chapter 6 that a type of warfare, if you will, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent on this, but as we begin to pray in the Spirit, God can move through that kind of prayer to work against the enemy on our behalf, if you will. I'll just leave it at that. But God needs our prayers, our prayer with the understanding and our praying in the Spirit. And He needs our confessions. But He also needs our worship. And we've had so much teaching on worship, how that when we begin to worship and praise the Lord, it opens a door for God to begin to move. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to open up with one song. And we'll just worship with that one song. Then we'll go into the confessions. And after we go through the confessions, We're just going to spend a period of time praying in the Spirit. And when we get to that point, we've done this before where we've had times of praying in tongues. And what I've noticed, yes, at times, I admit, I've looked around. I've noticed that some people, you don't do this. Now, I'm not trying to bring condemnation, but I guess I'm not sure I understand why you wouldn't want to join with us. I'm not talking out loud, just, you know, under your breath praying in tongues. You know, you don't wear out your vocal cords. But I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to do this when we understand so much from God's Word what praying in the Spirit will do for us and what it will accomplish. And one of the things that takes place when we pray in tongues is that the Holy Spirit is able to pray God's will. Now, what we're going to do, now, I've taught before that you can't tell the Holy Spirit what to pray for you through tongues. I mean, you can say, well, now I'm going to pray for a new car. And then the Holy Spirit says, you ain't getting a new car. You're getting changed on the inside. But what we're going to do is pray in tongues and give God the opportunity by the Holy Spirit to use that as prayer for our nation if He desires. So we're offering it to Him. We're going to be offering this worship to Him. Father, use this worship. Move through the power of this worship that we release to help effect change in our country, to help effect change in this presidential election. So that your man is raised up and people are drawn to him. And in that prayer, we're offering these prayers, praying in the Spirit, and just giving it over to God and let Him do through it what He chooses to do, what He knows is best in this. But we're making it available to Him. And then these confessions that we're going to do, as we speak these confessions, and these confessions, they're based on Scripture. You know, it's giving God tools to work with to help bring about this change. It's almost like, when we do things like this, we are coming into agreement with God concerning what He wants done. And what we're going to do tonight is something that we will do in the future. We'll come together for times where we will have a period of praise and worship, be more than just one song, but we'll come together for a period of praise and worship. And then we'll go through confessions. And the confessions that we're going to go through tonight, don't be surprised if over time they grow, become larger. This is just what I put together this afternoon. And spend time in praying in the Spirit. And after we have finished praying in the Spirit, we're just going to pray for 15 minutes in tongues. That's it, just 15 minutes. We're going to have this one song of praise and worship. We're going to go through the confessions. We're just going to pray in tongues for 15 minutes. And then after we're finished with that time of prayer, we're going to close out with one more song of worship, and then we'll dismiss. So it's not going to take a whole long time tonight, but in the future it could. I mean, listen, when the anointing of God begins to move, man, it's no telling what could happen, and that's okay with me. I have no problem with that whatsoever. So for this song, I'm just going to ask you to stand, and then when we're finished worshiping through this song, if you want to stand as we go through these confessions, you can. Or you can sit back down, and then after we finish the confessions, we're just going to enter into a time of just 15 minutes of prayer. If you believe the Lord is giving you anything during those 15 minutes, you know, write it down. And then when the 15 minutes are over, we'll just close out with one more song. So praise the Lord. So go ahead. Father, I come before You on behalf of our nation. We, Your children, have sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, and have rebelled by departing from the fullness and standards of the truth of Your Word. We have not paid attention to those You have raised up who speak Your truth and call us to repentance. We have not held the pastors and other ministers of Your Word accountable for their sin and doctrinal error. We have fallen short of Your desires. I personally repent for my sin and failure in all these areas. I also ask You to forgive us, Your church, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear this prayer and choose this place to Yourself for a house of sacrifice as I offer to You my own life as a living sacrifice and my praise as the sacrifice of my lips. Choose this house and sanctify it as a holy dwelling place of Your presence. May Your name and Your heart dwell here forever. Father, as You have forgiven me all sin for Christ's sake, I choose to forgive every person their transgressions against me. Just as You loved me and gave Your Son to be the sacrifice for my sins, I recognize Jesus as the sacrifice for all sins committed against me. I love those who committed those sins in the same way that you love both me and them. I ask that you do not hold them accountable for any wrong they have done unto me. Father, please move in our land. Heal our nation. May the glory of your presence be known. Lord, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of our nation. I lift up our President, Vice President, Congress, Supreme Court, and all who are in leadership at all levels of government, from the national level to the local level. Please forgive our leaders for their sin and ungodly actions, laws, and positions that are opposed to your word. Touch their lives with your presence. May they all know Jesus in a personal way as Savior and Lord. By faith, I call them born again and filled with your Holy Spirit. I present to you my prayers, my confessions, and my praise and worship. Use it all in the way you want to bring about your will. Release your glory and anointing through me to bring about the changes you desire. Father, I lift up to you the coming elections. Please begin to move on the hearts and minds of the just and the unjust concerning those running for president and every other office for which we will vote, whether it be on a national, state, or local level. Begin drawing our attention to those for whom we should vote. May we all see the truth about each candidate. Move in such a fashion that all ungodly and unholy plans and motives will be fully exposed and brought to light. May both those of your church and the lost begin to be drawn to the man you desire to be our next president. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to cause us to vote for the wrong person. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in Jesus' name I speak to you, spirit of confusion, and I command that you silence your tongue. You will not have an impact on the body of Christ concerning these elections. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests on you. May the man the Father wants as our president be filled with the wisdom of God concerning every decision he makes, including those decisions pertaining to his presidential campaign. May he operate by kingdom knowledge. Holy Spirit, please release a continual flow of anointing upon this man that will help and guide him in the election process. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against this man and against Congress. I speak to you and command you to be cast out now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against this man shall prosper, and I call condemned every tongue that would rise up against him in false judgment. Father, move upon your church and lay intercession on all those who make themselves available to you for that kind of prayer. Move upon the pastors of your churches that they would call for times of prayer over these elections. I say in Jesus' name that the righteous are in authority and that our nation rejoices. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over this region. You are Lord over this state. You are Lord over this nation. May the glory of the Lord fill this country and may revival fires burn with unprecedented intensity. Hallelujah.